Well, welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts, also known as the Word is the Way to Life podcast. I'm glad you tuned in. We have been doing a journey through the Psalm from Psalm 51 to 100, taking a little look at each one of the Psalms and how unique that they are. And this week we're going to be looking at Psalm 57. So, hear God's Word, Psalm 57. And this is the instruction for the choir director. This is a Psalm of David regarding the time that he fled from Saul and went into the cave to be sung to the tune of Do Not Destroy. Now, I'm not familiar with the Do Not Destroy song, but, you know, the choir master and the instruments of the strings and so forth, I'm sure they knew them. But hear God's word from Psalm 57. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy. I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until this violent storm is passed. I cry out, God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. He will send help from heaven to save me, rescuing me from those who are out to get me. My God will send forth his unfailing love and faithfulness. I'm surrounded by fierce lions who greedily devour human prey, whose teeth pierce like spears and arrows, and whose tongues cut like swords. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens, and may your glory shine over all the earth. My enemies have set a trap for me, and I am weary from distress. They have dug a pit in my path, but they themselves have fallen into it. My heart is confident in you, O God. No wonder I can sing your praises. Wake up, my soul, wake up, O harp and lyre. I will waken the dawn with my song. I will thank you, Lord, in front of all the people. I will sing your praises to the nations, for your unfailing love is as high as the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens, and may your glory shine over all the earth. Wow, may God add his blessings to the reading and the hearing of Psalm 57. David pours out his heart. You know, singing, talking about singing down there at the end. You know, singing is good for us. In our United Methodist hymnal at the front, John Wesley, and of course his brother Charles Wesley, They did most of the songs at that time, and Charles especially wrote them, and John would sing them. So what he did, he gave us instructions for singing. He said, sing out all you can. Now, this is my paraphrase. Sing out all you can, and don't just, you know, not sing out good. And sing out like you were singing out to the devil. My interpretation, well, what he's saying is, put your heart into it. Let's sing, because singing is good. There's another song book around called The Songs of the Saints. And it was a book that also indicated that singing has power. And one reason singing can have so much positive effect on us is that it embraces our emotions. I think that's why Wesley said, sing out. And not only our emotions, but our mind. There's now an entire school of psychotherapy called singing therapy. Well, you know, I like to sing, and for a long time I wouldn't sing because I was told as a kid I couldn't sing, so I didn't sing. But then I realized when I accepted Christ and the Lord, all I had to do was make a joyful noise and sing to the Lord. Well, I think people also have discovered that through singing, it suppressed emotions. Then emotions through singing can thaw out and people begin to release their inner pain. There's a gentleman by the name of Dr. Gene Cohen, and he claimed that tests have shown that elderly people, and I think this is true because I was around a lot of elderly people when we had adult daycare at Gray Memorial, who sing have fewer medical appointments, and they use less medication and become less depressed. It was always fascinating when we'd gather every day in the sanctuary and we'd sing hymns, the smiles on their face, you know, remembering things from their youth or different times. It was cool. So it's not surprising then, I think, that some of the darkest periods in David's life, he is writing and singing songs. David's songs express the pain and injustice of his suffering and renew his confidence in the Lord who protects and delivers him at the same time. Psalm 52 through 59 primarily recall the time in David's life when King Saul was trying to kill him. And the superscription of Psalm 57 tells us that it was written when he had fled from Saul into a cave. The superscription also tells the song leaders to sing to the tune of a song, "Do Not Destroy." I think we can probably find a little evidence about that as we get into Psalm 58 and 59. But that tune evidently is very appropriate, given in the historical context. 1 Samuel recounts the time when Saul entered a cave when David and his men were hiding. Although David couldn't have easily killed the unsuspecting king, he vows that he will not touch the Lord's anointed. So David describes his enemies very colorfully. He says, "They are like lions and ravenous beasts, stalking their prey. They're like hunters who spread a net over my feet." Traditionally, scholars believe that David was on the run from Saul for about 7 years. Now, if that's any estimation, and if it's accurate, we can appreciate how hard it was for David to be constantly on guard against those who wanted to kill him. I just thank God that he was able to write all those emotions down and all those challenges, and we have in the book, the Bible, to give us encouragement, because sometimes we have enemies chasing us, right? Well, I digress. However, the psalm does emphasize that David trusts in God and he finds refuge in the shadow of God's wings. And he cries out to God who saves him. And then David closes his psalm with the words of praise to God. But before he does that, he affirms that his heart is steadfast and he will sing and make music. You know, he did play the harp. It is as he sings that awakens the dawn in his dark heart. David knew how singing and God-centered songs can refocus our thoughts. That's what I like about the hymns, the old hymns. You know, they're somebody's personal testimony as they sit down and write those poems or psalms or songs, however you want to put it. And they pour out their heart and we can relate to it. You know, like the one, "It Is Well With My Soul." And we realize that that song came from a man who had lost his family on a ship. Now, he was a real estate guy in Chicago, and when the Chicago fire hit, they had planned a trip to England, but he told his wife to go on ahead, and he'd take care of business back, and then he would follow. Well, on their way to England, in a storm, and the ship sank, but he went on with his trip. And when he crossed over the part where that other ship went down, God just quickened in his spirit. "It is well with my soul." So David knew the power of singing to recognize our faith and our spiritual passion. So may the songs that we sing produce the same joy and trust in God for our life and to be able to sing out. I think apart from praising God, we can all think of other reasons why we sing at church. It's fun. Just get with a whole bunch of other people and sing, isn't it? Are there times in your life when songs you've heard, we call it a earworm. You know, sometimes songs gets in your spirit, gets in your head. We would call them earworm songs because you just over and over. And you can just sing along with them, or even if you don't remember the words, you can remember the tune. It's really cool. When there are times like that in your life, when songs that you have heard sung deeply minister to you and strengthen your faith in God, well, that's why we come together, because we have a biblical mandate to encourage one another in the faith, and we're also commanded to pray for one another and encourage one another and lift up one another. And that's what we do. We have people that request prayer, and if you click on the slides part of the website, you'll see all the people that we have listed. But you don't need to have anybody praying for you, because you can pray for yourself. That's what Jesus did for us on the cross when he gave up the ghost. The veil in the temple rent in two, the scripture says. Because what before, the only people that could go into the Holy of Holies was the priest. And they would say, okay, give me your prayers and I'll take it into the Holy of Holies. No, when Jesus gave up the ghost, not only the forgiveness of our sin, but he'd given us direct access to God the Father. So we can go and talk to God ourselves. Are you sure, preacher? Yep, I'm sure. And the reason I know that is because at the end of the day, when Jesus and the disciples ministered and they gathered around a fire and they ate and they fellowshipped, and Jesus would go off by himself, and the disciples said, Lord, why do you go off by yourself like that? He said, well, guys, you know I'm God. You know that by now because I told you. And I have human emotions. I get hungry. I get tired. And I got to go and talk to Daddy. Can we do that? He says, yes. Let me give you a prayer, a model prayer for all of your prayers to line up with. I call it the disciples' prayer because Jesus was teaching us how to pray. Hear that prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, know that God loves you, and so do we. And thank you for tuning in to The Word is the Way to Life. Jesus is the Word manifested in the flesh, and he teaches us the way to life and how we can have life eternally with the Father. Have a blessed day.